Transfronteriza is a woman-led cultural organizing project aimed to empower and support the development of the border community. Transfronteriza is creating public dialogues and workshops in visual art, textiles, sound recording, and movement, where women and other community members are invited to create costumes, scenery, movement, sounds, text, images, and objects that will then be orchestrated together into performances done in El Paso, Ciudad Juarez, Chihuahua, and Albuquerque. We are all invited to participate in a Transfronteriza rehearsal and conversation today at the Downtown Library from 3 to 5 p.m. Here to tell us all about it is improviser, performer, and community organizer, Sandra Paola Lopez. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
You're always up to something fun.
Yes.
So tell us, Transfronteriza, I love that name.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I got through it and was able to say it. But how did this come about?
This is really, we see it as a building on something we did earlier this year called Braiding Borders, Trenzando Fronteras, which was this performance action that we did at the International Bridge in downtown El Paso, where we braided the hair of 52 women, creating a human chain during the inauguration of the 45th president. And that action, the impact it had in all of us that were there, was so profound and so moving that we wanted to create something that maybe was more long term, you know, so continue creating spaces that could be women led, where we could come together to create new things together in a performative way, which is what we found to be so impactful of this action.
For yourselves, and I imagine for the people that saw it, because you're right, the braiding borders, it made an impact visually too. So even if you weren't there, to see a photo of that is just, I mean, you feel it right away.
Yes.
I can't imagine what it felt like to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm. It was absolutely stunning to see people coming together, especially because when we organized it, and, you know, I co-produced the event with Xochitl Rodriguez, and mm-hmm. when we organized it, we had no idea we wanted 50 women. We had no idea we were going to get that number. And then the vast majority of women there didn't know who we were. They just kind of answered this call to want to do a showing of solidarity in a time that for so many of us felt so dark, and we just felt despair, and we wanted to create something different that day.
So Transfronteriza, I mean, you have this thing happening today at the library. Mm-hmm. Or what is expected of us? I mean, I know you're an improviser, so it's hard to ask an improviser what's expected. Mm-hmm. But yeah, what's expected?
Yeah. So you know, like you said in the description, this project is, you know, right now we have it kind of planned out, or, you know, in quotation marks, planned out.
Sure.
Through May of next year, of 2018. But the idea is to collaboratively create with people this massive public performances. Or maybe not so massive. I don't know. But the point is to create it collectively.
You still don't know, right?
Exactly. But the point is to invite people to come and create something new with us. So it's not going to be something that I'm going to be directing people on what to do. But we're going to be creating conversation and saying, these are the things that we've been doing. What else can we do with that? And maybe I will lead certain things with movement or with dialogue. But the idea is that the things are created collaboratively. So it's not going to be done from like a top-down hierarchical traditional way that mm-hmm. is usually done in performance, in theater and dance. But it's something that we're trying to kind of flip so that it's really organized and created from the ground up.
So you'll have several of these activations throughout the year?
Yes, yes. So the idea is, you know, so there's different phases to this project. And the first kind of the first milestone we're working through is this performance that I have in Albuquerque. This whole thing came about, you know, kind of we were wanting to figure out what else to do after Braiding Borders. And then I got an invitation from a dance festival in Albuquerque to present a solo. And I'm not interested in going into a studio and creating a solo in isolation. I don't work in that way. And I'm not interested in having my artistic process be removed from the community I work with. So I kind of opened this up with fellow organizers with Boundless Across Borders, who was a coalition that organized Braiding Borders. And I said, what if we just try something and do something collectively? And they loved the idea. So this is just all a big experiment. So we're going to collectively create the solo that I'm going to perform. in Albuquerque, and then we're going to bring that and transform it into a group community piece that we can do and perform in different areas.
When is your performance in Albuquerque?
In October. So I'll be there in residence October 15th through the 21st. So I'll be teaching the community there, talking about the process of the piece, and then performing the
and
solo.
All the artifacts, everything that we create here will
be shipped
go with you there.
Yes.
So you have no idea if you're going to need a semi-truck or
correct.
A van or a bag.
Exactly. I have no idea. I have no idea the movement, how the movement will be created. I just started working in the first movement phrase that I developed in relationship to women that I've been working with in a women's shelter in Juarez. I've been going to that shelter for 2 years now. And I did a movement workshop with them and created movement. So I started developing movement with them. And so I have a little phrase that I'm starting to work with. But the idea, again, is not for me to create it in isolation, but in all these activations, like you said, in all these activities that we create with people to continue to generate movements and ideas that eventually, yes, I will help bring it all together. But the content will be created relationally with others.
Do you find in working with different groups and different people that a lot of the same themes come up? Or are you finding that every group is different and everybody's feeling it differently or expressing themselves?
Well, that's an interesting question because even though there are a lot of similarities, one of the things that I wanted to make a point in doing Transfronteriza is to really reach out to different kinds of women. So, you know, I actively reached out to Rarámuri women in Juarez. I am actively reaching out to African-American women. And it's very interesting because those groups mm-hmm. have very different and very distinct experiences than the other groups of people that I had worked with that I don't know. I don't think that there's a typical woman in the border.
Of course.
But you know, a common theme is violence and violence mm-hmm. against women. And that has been something that is very strong in the conversations that we've had and with the women that we've worked. And, you know, things about immigration. You know,
of
immigration
course. I mean,
is
we're
a
border
topic.
Town.
Exactly. So there are definitely commonalities. But In making it a purpose to make it as diverse and inclusive as we can, which, of course, we know we are not going to be able to cover everything, we've noticed that there are very distinct experiences depending on the subcultures or the subcommunities you're part of.
Which has got to be interesting because, you know, we look at ourselves as, okay, we are this border community. But if even, like you said, within the border community, we have all these neat little subsects that sometimes don't intersect, oddly enough. Mm-hmm. And yet we're all connected by geography, by where we are physically.
Exactly. And it's also been really interesting because a lot of us, you know, I include myself in there, are not from here, yet we are here, living here and creating community here. And there's a lot of people like me that were not born and raised here, but that are part of this community now. So that also looks in a very different way than someone that, you know, was born and raised here and has been here, you know, that their family have been here for, you know, four generations.
But, you know, it's people like you that come from said outside, I say that with quotation marks, mm-hmm. that help us see ourselves. Because mm-hmm. you notice things, you know, that are like, oh, do you notice, like, you do this all the time? Or, you know, and for us who have lived here forever, it's just how we do things. Mm-hmm. But when somebody with your eyes, with your point of view comes in and points those out and kind of reminds us how special we are, because mm-hmm. it's easy to forget that. Mm-hmm. What have you found along your way? Things that you've experienced here that maybe
separate from this project? See.
Yeah, or? Yeah.
Oh, I have been very moved by and inspired by the women here. Mm-hmm. I've been amazed, you know, for example, how many of my students here at UTEP are mothers. And yeah. How many come back to school after having raised kids. How many have struggled with domestic violence? How many are sex workers? How many have raised kids on their own? So many single mothers. Mm-hmm. And that is something that has inspired me to want to create spaces where women specifically could continue to be empowered. Because they are amazing. I mean,
oh yeah,
I've been very moved by their resilience and bravery, and just always, just not giving up. It's just that sense of not giving up.
And you've seen that mainly through education, right? I mean,
see,
how
yeah.
that changes lives quickly.
Yeah, I've seen
well, not quickly.
Through.
I'm sure it feels for them like an eternity when you're in school and you've got kids and jobs and all that. But it's a huge transformation from when you come in and you go out.
I've definitely seen that in the university, but I also when I work with communities. So, for example, this women's shelter that I've been working with, like to see just their transition in the 3 months, 4 months that they're in the shelter and to see how they come in and how they leave. And I just, you know, I see these women that are, you know, 10, sometimes 15 years younger than me that have 5 kids that are, you know, in this conditions that I couldn't even fathom being in. And just seeing them just go. They just do it. And I'm just amazed at that strength and that willingness to just have a better life.
Now, what about you? What transformation have you seen in yourself since you've been here?
Oh, gosh. So many. I think that being here, I mean, I've been a political artist for a long time, and I've kind of made a commitment in my artwork and in my community work to not just give voice to things and issues that I think need to be given voice to, but just also allowed myself to be impacted by the people that I work with. And I'm just incredibly humbled to be in this area and to really be able to have the privilege to cross and to do the things that I can do in both parts,
sure.
in both countries. And I think that seeing my privilege in that way, that is just so blatant when you have this division that is balanced on privilege, you know, who gets to cross and who doesn't get to cross, has helped me own and understand my privilege in ways that I just hadn't other places.
Well, we're glad we're using you're using your privilege to create things like Transfronteriza and to bring us into it.
Yes.
We're all invited to be a part of Transfronteriza, the first activation, we don't even know, right?
Yeah, that's a great word. I like it.
The first activation happens today at 3:00 at the Downtown Main Library in the gallery area, is that correct?
Yeah, in the Maud Sullivan Gallery. Yeah.
So we're all invited to be a part of it. Today, my guest has been Sandra Paola, and she is working on her Transfronteriza project. Thank you so much for coming to State of the Arts.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.